Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you as we begin a new week, the first week of December and the first week after Thanksgiving. By the way, aren't you glad you weren't traveling too much over Thanksgiving? Maybe you were. Maybe you got stuck in some of that bad weather that was across the country. You know, we didn't have too bad here in Oregon. If you think about it, it was really pretty good. But what if you were trying to get home? Man, I'm glad I wasn't one of those people. Something like 7,500 flights were canceled. Ouch! So let me ask you a question as we get into the political issues of the day. And so much of what we talk about, as you know, is aimed at empowering you to be the greatest influencer you know and to really understand that and to be effective at it, to help you, give you the tools to persuade the persuadable. So let me ask you this. Do you believe in the word hope when it comes to politics? No, I'm quite serious. No, and I'm not talking about cheesy slogans, hope and change, that Obama used so effectively. Why do you think that cheesy slogan, by the way, was so effective? Why do you think that was? What was it about that slogan that changed the political direction of this company, or country, rather? I mean, if you think about it, what is it about the word hope? Well, it clearly has something to do with human nature, but in states like Oregon, where the, you know, big urban areas drive the politics of the state in so many ways, but is there hope that Oregon can, in fact, get back to some kind of a political balance? Because you know it is very unbalanced as we speak.
You look at the things that are happening. And is
hope possible here? Now, part of the reason that I'm engaging this part of this conversation or this conversation with you is because, again, it's resulting from an email from a listener over the weekend. And I got to tell you, this is what I find in terms of what it is that we can achieve. And what I mean by that is, what's compelling about that is that obviously people who listen to this radio show believe that there is some hope for Oregon politically. It doesn't bother you what time, whether you're listening in the morning or the afternoon replay. So if you think that Oregon is just done and over, I think that's unfortunate because I'm a fifth generation Oregon farmer. I'm tied to the land. I ain't going nowhere. So I'm going to stand and fight. Does the Timber Unity Movement give you hope? No, just think about that. By the way, there's in February 6th, which is Ronald Reagan's birthday, there's going to be a massive Timber Unity rally at the state capitol. And you should plan to be there. You should be a part of, you should also, if you're not going to be a part of it and you got to travel anywhere around the downtown area of Salem, you better plan on being a ways away from the Capitol because you're going to be snarled by traffic. So in all seriousness, do movements like Timber Unity give you hope? Does it give you hope that even if it seems to be a blue state run by liberals from the Portland metro area, and some from Bend too for that matter, but do you think that we can actually turn this state around? When we look at the issues that are before us, both nationally. I mean, look, I know all politics is local. That is true. But still, the national conversation has something to do with it. You know that as well as I do. Donald Trump was used as a cudgel to bludgeon Republicans here in Oregon in the elections. Now, I mean, up and down the line, folks. It wasn't just the legislature. It wasn't just Newt losing to Kate, and that had something entirely different than to do with Trump. But it right on down to the county commission level and city council and school board races, right? And we know that national politics can drive the overall feeling and the movement of generally people who are out there. And no, Mary, I haven't been drinking again. Mary from Shaw says she's staggering around this morning. Yeah, apparently we're having a little bit of a garbled, and I'm not sure why, but we are. So it is what it is. So at any rate, friends, in all seriousness, can we as people, can we change the state? Is there hope to change this state? Now, there's some interesting things happening politically that might play into that. And we'll get to them as we go through the show today. One of them is this interesting story in the Oregonian from 3 days ago. Now, it's not an Oregonian story. It's from The Tilt, which is this left-wing online publication. And the headline is, Do You Trust President Trump? Now, if you look at what's going on, obviously the Judiciary Committee, it's impeachment, folks. They're beginning their hearings, I guess. And Trump's not going to participate. His lawyers are not going to participate. Is that the right thing to do? Should they be participating? Should they be standing and fighting? Or does this president need to do that in the Judiciary Committee? What message does that send? Does it send any message? Now, I have to tell you that I think it is right for Trump not to be involved in these things because it's the entire thing is sham. I mean, it would send a mixed message, wouldn't it, if his lawyers are, in fact, involved? It would send a message that here's the president calling it a sham impeachment, and Republicans in the House are calling it sham impeachment. Republicans in the Senate are calling it a sham impeachment. And wouldn't it send a mixed message if, in fact, he did participate? Well, I think it would. Now, and by the way, producer Phil, I can hear you again. So if you can fix that, that'd be good. So there are stories in Oregon that have to do with Trump, folks. Let's take, for instance, the story about HUD Secretary Ben Carson. He's an absolutely marvelous man that I've had the privilege of meeting a couple of times. This Trump's HUD secretary. He's liking the idea of using the Wapato Jail in Multnomah County, built years ago, but maybe 11 years ago, 10, 11 years ago, never opened it. The taxpayers of Multnomah County are paying for a jail that they have never opened and never used. All right. He's showing some interest in using that for doing what? For housing homeless people. There's another story today. And by the way, you can see all this on OregonWatchdog.com. Here's the headline to this. Officials finalize a deal to funnel Portland tourist dollars to the homeless. Now, wait a second. Is that what tourist dollars are supposed to go for? Really? Taking care of the homeless problem? Well, of course. Look, politicians and bureaucrats will find any way possible to bring some nexus to excuse the misuse of your money. In this case, it's tourism tax dollars. So it's not really your money, but it's still public money. It's taxes, isn't it? Doesn't matter where it comes from. Is that what it's supposed to be, really? Is it supposed to be? Is tourism tax? I thought tourism tax dollars were supposed to be used like for things like advertising, saying how wonderful Portland is. What a great place to visit. Come and visit Portland. So why would they have to use and why could they justify using tourism dollars for the homeless? Well, because tourists, they see all the homeless campers as they're leaving the airport. Is there a better solution to that? Is it a solution that has anything to do with Trump? Is it a solution that has everything to do with local politics? The politics of Portland about the homeless problem. Well, nothing. In fact, as we covered that story last week, she continues to just kick the can down the road, like she does with most things, right? Like she's done with the so-called PERS fix, which wasn't a fix at all. But I guess has the unions really angry at a few Democrats that voted for it. And like she's doing with, well, she isn't doing this with the climate change scam, the cap and tax scam that's coming again in the February session, which is why you should have hope, because it is the hope of the people rising up once again to stop all of this nonsense through Timber Unity and through other organizations that are working to truly empower the grassroots. These issues, like with homelessness, the issue of Trump and his impact in politics. There's a story today about, where is this story? It is about that, again, in the Oregonian. And it's about Alan Alley's walk 10 years ago. And the headline is, a long walk 10 years ago shows a path forward for bringing Oregonians together. And this is by Alan Alley. And he talks about that walk. And I've had personal conversations with Alan about this. And it was a profound change for him. Because he, in the time that he spent walking across this state, he learned a lot about Oregon. He learned a lot about Oregon from people and their opinions of Oregon from all across the state, and how divided this state was and how divided it is today. But the point is that he is trying to make is that there is a path forward to bringing Oregonians together. Okay, now if you read this, does it give you hope? Is it possible that Oregonians can come together? And what does that mean? Does it mean that we on the conservative right just give up and accept whatever the regressive totalitarian Marxists want to ram down our throats? Or do we stand and fight? Do we engage in the principles and the activities of people who are willing to fight to the very end? Now, there's a reason I'm sharing that with you, because it has to do with a little bit with yesterday's sermon that I encountered in church. How much are you willing to do to fight, to stand? Is it about fighting and standing, or is it about just rolling over and giving up? What do you think? 6:20 in the morning. We'll get coffee back at home.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
So do you have hope that Oregon can be turned around? Do you have hope that Oregon can actually come to work together? And so I'm quite serious now. To find solutions to the political issues of the day that really do impact our lives. What do you think? 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or you can shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am. We may be having a little bit of an internet issue today, so my apologies for that if it isn't quite sounding as normally good. So Alan Alley has written this opinion piece that was published in the Oregonian. It's about that walk that he did 10 years ago when he was running for the Republican nomination to be governor. And he walked all across the state. He learned a lot. He learned a great deal. But his point was this, and in writing the op-ed, we all kind of care about the same things. And he described his time with serving under Ted Kulongoski in his, as a Republican, serving a Democrat governor. And how he worked with Tim Nesbitt. Now, Tim Nesbitt, if you don't know, is former head of the AFL-CIO union here in Oregon, and he's not a conservative. But yet, he wanted the same things that Alan wanted, and frankly, that I think you and I want. What we differ is on how we get there. And, you know, I said that for years. In the years that I served in the Oregon House of Representatives, and oftentimes when I was out speaking to groups who weren't, you know, civic groups or whatever, they weren't necessarily Republican or Democrat, is this. We really do want the same things. But what we differ on is how we get there, how we achieve it. Everybody wants safety in their community. And when it comes to this issue, and I'm quite serious, this issue of homelessness, is it possible that, I mean, this is an issue that affects virtually every community in this state. And caller, if you want to call back, please do. 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. I'll take your call right away. Appreciate you calling in. But I want to make this point. If we believe, if we have the same end goal, okay? If we want good schools that actually teach our kids to be lifelong learners, and they're not just indoctrination centers, if we want a good economy that allows us to live the American dream, if we want our individual rights and our individual liberties protected, if these are all things, if we want a clean environment, nobody wants a dirty environment, do they? If we want all of these things, a great healthcare system, can we come together to find ways to make it happen? And in issues like, well, take the homeless issue. And it is so powerful because it is. It is present every day. I mean, this whole idea that this news story, you can see it on OregonWatchdog.com, you can read it. The whole idea that we have to take tourism dollars, really, to take care of the homeless problem, is that how we deal with it? Let's go to our caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you? And thanks for calling in this morning.
Hello?
Good morning. Who are you?
Hi, my name is Anne.
Hi,
and
Anne.
I just wanted to, with all the climate change and environmental stuff going on with Governor Brown, there's a book called Agenda 21, and I would encourage everyone to read it. It's by Glenn Beck and Harriet Park, and it talks about what their plan is, and that one of the first things is to move citizens off private land and into high-density urban housing. And they've implemented new policies in a lot of, like, 600 cities and more. If some people don't want to read the whole book, at least go to the back part where it says afterword, and it talks about all the factual stuff.
Thank you, Anne, and that's a perfect I think, segue into continuing this discussion. It is a great book, and it is well-researched, and it is right on the money. This has been going on for a long time, and it is a way of diminishing our individual rights, rights of private property. Thank you, Anne. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes,
I hope you call back again.
And I love your show. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Anne. I appreciate that. So, issues like homelessness, issues like your individual rights, like private property rights, like Anne was just talking about, every day, we who hold those rights dear think they're under assault. From who? Well, from people who have a different philosophy, people who think that it is best to take people off of the land because the land has to be preserved, right? and that any use of the land, whether it's logging or me farming as a fifth-generation Oregon farmer, is detrimental to that land, and we have to stop it. We can't cut a single tree, because trees are people too. Well, people really think that. My point is that if we are to engage in honest discussion to seek solutions to these challenges, homelessness, protecting your private property rights, you can't do that if you don't have people on the other side willing to have that honest discussion, right? So when Alan Alley talks about how it is that we can find common ground and work on things that we both, or that both sides care about. Well, the other side has to be willing to engage in that conversation and not a zero-sum game, not a scorched earth policy, not a policy that says, I win, you lose. Your opinion is not valuable. And this, my friends, is why you should have hope. Because people in this country fiercely, and I mean fiercely, and should be willing to stand and fight for what they believe in. At what point? At the point of giving your very life for it? And that relates to yesterday's storm. I'll get into all of that when we come back to the bottom of the hour. But do you have hope that Oregon can return to some semblance of... Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 24 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you with us if you're just joining us. We're talking about hope. No, not the cheesy political slogan, hope and change that Obama used so effectively. No, but... do you as a person of, well, maybe conservative faith in not just principles and values and inalienable rights given to us by God, our creator, but faith to believe that, well, we, you and I, can have a positive impact around, well, in our world, shall we say, around the people that we're with on a daily basis, or maybe not on a daily basis, but an occasional basis. Can we persuade the persuadable? To do what? Well, to find common goals and work together to solve issues. Like, for instance, well, this business of homelessness. Seriously. I mean, how can it be? I mean, I have often thought this, and I bet you probably have too. How can it be that we can have such an incredibly strong economy, right? And I mean, complete with the lowest levels of, maybe since World War II, of unemployment, highest levels of employment. But more importantly, the higher levels of wages and earning growth, especially for the middle class. How can it be that people are homeless? Why is it? Why is it that the problem seems to be so bad? And how do we find solutions to deal with it? Are there ways that people can come together to do this? Art sent me a great email. And by the way, if you want to send me an email, it's jeff@1220.am. It was about how Google and YouTube have deleted over 300 Trump ads. And we're going to go to Art in a moment, but I want to remind you that if you have not tried CBD oil products, hemp-derived CBD oil products, if you haven't tried it, I want to encourage you to think about trying it. It works for me, friends. I tell you that it helps me sleep so much better when I take a little bit of CBD oil before I go to bed. I did last night. Slept really well. And I have to tell you that in so many other things, injuries in my body, CBD oil products really helped me. And I think you ought to go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial, South Salem, right next to Safeway. They sell CannaShield, and this is really, really good, very high-quality CBD oil products. And you can be assured that you're getting what you're buying, because some of the stuff you buy online comes from China or other countries. Some of the stuff you buy online is not, well, it's not as advertised. CannaShield is. And you can learn more about it if you go to vimsalem.com. That's their website, vimsalem.com. CannaShield, get good CBD products that work. So, speaking of hope, and a guy who always has hope, that's my friend Art, who joins us today. Art, good morning. Is there hope for Oregon?
Well, let me tell you, Jeff, I've been in Oregon most of my life. This is the worst I've ever seen it, and it's about to get worse. Got my little letters, because you know I do a vending business. Got my little letters from Coke and Pepsi. Prices are going up January 1st. So, hey, everybody, keep the Democrats in charge, and this is what we're going to continue to suffer from. Higher taxes, higher prices, and it's just getting worse and worse. I always have hope, Jeff. However, if we don't get control of this and we don't take away the power of the liberals in Portland and Eugene, we're all going to suffer.
And well, okay, fair enough. How do we do that? Now, seriously, how do you take away the power of a voting electorate that is by and large more liberal than it is moderate in Portland and Eugene? How do you do that, Art?
Well, you obviously have to wake up the independents, and you got to get that vote to vote conservative, vote, you know, for the appropriate ways. But you also, goddamn, you got to have good candidates. And I haven't heard anything yet on who we're going to try to put in place in the AG's office, and who we're going to try to put in place in the Secretary of State's office. But if we allow the Democratic liberals to get charge or stay in charge of those particular entities in our state, we're screwed. I can't – all the money that this state has wasted – fighting good policy by filing lawsuits against what our president is trying to do for our country is just ridiculous, and we got to stop it.
Yeah, and it's just the beginning because they're not going to step away from the table. They're not going to continue to try to input their radical, far-left, regressive, totalitarian Marxist agenda. Art, thank you. I appreciate your thoughts because it relates to... Seriously, it relates, friends, to hope. We have to stand and fight, friends. I mean, we just do. I mean, this is the power of what Timber Unity created, friends. I, in all seriousness, you know, when that thing erupted and it gave great, backing to a bunch of, Oregon Republican state senators that were really, well, two or three that were really squishy about the whole idea of walking away from the legislative session and killing cap and trade. Now, they did it before, and they killed forced vaccinations, and they killed bad gun bills, okay? They left for a couple of days. Then they walked away for 9 days. Out of that came this timber unity movement, because somebody said, okay, my way of life, everything I believe in is threatened. I'm going to stand and fight. It gets back to the sermon that our pastor shared with us yesterday. How far are you willing to go to stand and fight? Seriously, a lot of conservatives have left this state. Yesterday, Representative Sal Esquivel, I saw he's a good friend of mine, great conservative, former Republican legislator from down in the Medford area. He left. He and his wife left and went to Idaho. And I saw a tweet from him, or a Facebook post, one of the two. But anyway, the point is they left. How sad. I can't. I have to stand and fight. The people at Timber Unity can't. They have to stand and fight. They're people tied to the land like I am. And they're not all conservatives. And they're not all Republicans, friends. They're willing to stand and fight to the very end. And that gets to yesterday's sermon. Our pastor's been talking about, you know, the Apostle Paul and how he was struck down on the road to Damascus. And how that he had been persecuting the church. He had literally been delivering people to be killed by the Jewish leaders, Christians. He was given authority to do that. The Romans let him do it. He had blood on his hands, folks. There were Christians willing to be martyred, willing to stand and fight for something greater than just life. Now, think about our founding fathers. Those who pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor in the Declaration of the Independence, some of them gave it all, friends, for us. Liberty and our liberty in this nation is based on inalienable rights, and it takes faith to believe that those rights are worth standing and fighting for. And people are doing it today in Oregon. That ought to give you hope, because hope is an incredibly powerful thing. And yes, like Alan Alley wrote in his op-ed piece, yeah, we want the same things. I don't think anybody thinks homelessness is a good thing. I don't, and I bet you don't either. But it's how we deal with homelessness as a public policy issue that matters. It's how we deal with some of the more, well, issues of taxes. Take, for instance, this tweet, $3 billion in new taxes in 2019 are about to hit us in Oregon. It's $2,307 per family. The business sales tax, $1.3 billion. The payroll tax, the family leave tax, is $1.1 billion. The new health care tax, another $334 million. Tobacco, cigar, vaping tax, $175 million. The partial kicker refund that they stole from us was only $108 million. And the liquor and the tax hike was another $9 million. It's $3 billion, friends. Somebody's going to pay for that. Who is it? Well, it's us, the middle class. But it's the ideas behind it that we are fighting, are they not? It's the language, it's the emotion of the issue. No, that's not poverty. So how are we going to deal with that? Are you willing to stand and fight? Are you willing to be a martyr for the cause of liberty for the future? No, that's not poverty.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. You know, hope is a powerful thing, my friends. You know, Art calls in on a regular basis, not quite every day, but you know, I've known Art a long time. When I came into the legislature in 1999, Art came by to meet me. Art is a blind man. He's a powerful advocate for blind people. He's also a business owner. He's a conservative. He's a man of faith. His family is. Now, he comes to the legislature to talk to legislators to help them understand what it's like to be a blind person, number one, but also to be a conservative business owner. You got to have hope in your heart to do that, to be politically active. Now, many times people don't get, the old saying is you don't either do politics or politics will do you. It's kind of ominous, but it's really true. Most people don't get involved in politics until they something they care about is being threatened or in fact, is damaged. Take these $3 billion in new taxes, $2,300 per family. It's a lot of money. You have an extra $2,300, seriously, to give to the government, the state government, for all of these wonderful things that are supposedly going to make people's lives better? Do you? How's that make your life better? Huh? And by the way, that isn't just all you're going to be paying to so-called the government this year in 2019 is going to be taking from you. And frankly, in 2020 and beyond, because it doesn't count for your county taxes and it doesn't count for your school district and it doesn't count for your city taxes. They're all going up. You add that to all of these other taxes, is it any wonder that in the midst of a powerfully good economy, you can't seem to get ahead? Now, what I just shared with you is something that can be changed. No, we're not likely going to roll back most of these taxes. But at some point, this is why you and I have to engage with other people in conversation so that they can have hope that their lives can be better. Now, go back to the Alan Alley piece. You can read in the Oregonian. Now, that he and Tim Nesbitt, who are on Governor Kulongoski's staff, could not be further apart in their backgrounds and their political philosophies and so forth, but yet they found common ground. This is one of the things that you can do, frankly, to have hope that you can make an impact in your world, that you can persuade the persuadables, especially about political things. And it's this. Let me just give you an example of something that you could say. You could use that tactic of saying, you know what? I want good schools, too. I want every child to have an opportunity to become a lifelong learner, said to develop critical thinking skills that will serve them through their entire life. I want a clean environment. If you're sitting there and you're talking to somebody who is maybe much further to the left than you, maybe is a moderate swing voter, maybe one of these independents that Art talked about, right? Because there's a lot of those folks, friends, that are ripe for the pickings. Meaning we are able, should be able, if we have the right tools and the right tactics, to persuade them to vote with us on the issues, to vote conservatively. And you say to people like that, look, we want the same things. That just because I'm a conservative and you're a liberal doesn't mean that we don't both want the same things. We want a clean environment. I don't want pollution out there. I want clean water. I want clean air. I want to be able to go on hiking trails and you know, enjoy what God's created, what we have in terms of our, you know, our forests. I want good services. When I call 911, I want somebody to be able to show up. I also want a good job. I want a strong economy. I want to be able to live the American dream. I want to be able to afford a house. Now, when you say those things, you're on common ground with somebody. And what you then can say, but we have different approaches about how we achieve those end results, which are good for everybody. So let's try to find a way that we can come together to make that work, to end homelessness, to give people hope, to give people hope that have chosen for whatever reasons to have to live as a homeless person because maybe they can't afford housing. Well, why is that? Why can't you afford a house? Why is it that young millennials that flock to Portland because they love the so-called progressive, which is regressive in reality, the regressive totalitarian Marxist agenda, they think it's progressive. They love it. They flock there. But they find it really hard to make a living because they can't afford to live in Portland. So they take their liberal ideas and they move to the rural areas. They move to the suburban areas. Pointing that out to people or engaging in people in discussion about that is one way that you can get people to start thinking about these things. The $3 billion in new taxes at $2,300 per family every year going forward, at least in the coming year, because that $108 million of stealing of the kicker was included in that. But the point is that, can you afford that? And that doesn't even include the increase in property taxes, which even if you're not a property owner, you're paying rent. Yeah, it's going to be included in that. These are things, friends, that should give you hope. Because these are the political issues that impact people's lives. This is why it's so important for you to not only be aware of them, but to have the skills and the tools, but also the hope to stand and fight for what you believe in. To the point that you're going to fight to the very end, to your last breath. Now, if that's our attitude on our side, it's powerful and it moves people because it helps you have the right motivations to do the right thing, to stand and fight, to be persuasive with others, to know the issues and be able to articulate them to other people, but to engage people who want to be engaged in. Now, there are people who don't. Don't waste your time with them. Find the persuadables. Work with them. Engage in thoughtful conversation with them about whatever issue of the day is confronting us. Homelessness, by the way, is not going away anytime soon because in large measure, homelessness is because of policies that encourage it or policies that cause it. That's all political, friends. That's something we can work together to solve. I hope you have found this show interesting today. Be blessed out there today, folks. Make it a great day because it's really up to you. I'll be back tomorrow and hope you are too.